In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. At the very middle of Mark's gospel, Jesus had begun to discern and understand what his path must be. You may remember in that moment he had started telling his disciples and anyone who would listen that it was time to go to Jerusalem. He needed to go into Jerusalem and confront the powers that be. And there he would be rejected, there he would suffer, there he would die. But he trusted that God would step in and vindicate him and rescue him. So now as we get to the very end of what we would normally call Jesus' ministry life, he tells his disciples one final time as they're on the home stretch into Jerusalem. He reminds them, this is what we're doing. This is what the true humanity is about. Rejection, suffering, death is ahead. We're going into Jerusalem. Be ready. Right on the heels of this final reminder from Jesus, we have James and John, two of the three of the inner circle of Jesus' closest disciples, come up to Jesus. Remember, it was James and John who were there. There on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter when they saw Moses and Elijah with Jesus. Where they heard the voice of God himself speak in the middle of the story saying, listen to this Jesus. These two, James and John, who had seen it all, who had even left their father with the boat and the hired workers at the beginning of the story, come up to Jesus with a proposition. Teacher, do for us whatever we want. You've probably heard something like that before in your life. Children often will do this. Even adults will often do this to each other. Maybe a spouse asking another spouse for something, or friends, some sort of relation. People will often say, hey, do me a favor. Do for me whatever I'm about to ask you, okay? Give me a blank check, okay? This proposition, this question that is not unfamiliar to us, Jesus doesn't fall for it. He doesn't say, sure, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He instead says, as we almost always do, what is it that you want me to do for you? I need to hear the favor before I promise to do it. James and John, in response to this, say, let us sit at your right hand and your left hand when you come into your glory, your power, and your kingdom. Let us be the number two, the number three when we win the victory in Jerusalem that's ahead. We want to sit in your power. We want to share in your power. Jesus responds with that frustration that I think has been going on throughout the gospel. You have no idea what you're asking. You still don't get it. Do you really think that you can drink the cup that I'm about to drink? That you can be baptized with this baptism that I'm about to undergo? This cup, this baptism, remember Jesus had just told them, we're going into Jerusalem. Rejection, suffering, death are right around the corner. This is the cup we will be drinking. This is the baptism we will be undergoing. Do you think you can participate in that? James and John, heck yes we can. We are able. Jesus' response, may throw us for a little bit, but he says, yeah, you're right. You can. You will drink the cup that I'm about to drink. You will be baptized with the baptism I'm about to undergo. But it's not for me to choose who's going to sit on my right and my left in that moment. It's already been prepared by my Father. You will drink the cup
you will be baptized with the baptism. They didn't know what they were asking. A few short years after this, we'll find that James, this very James, his request from Jesus is answered as his head goes on the chopping block before Herod, and his head is cut off. He becomes the first of the 12 disciples to drink that cup, to be baptized with the baptism that Jesus was going to undergo in Jerusalem. James wanted to be a part of it. Okay. The Lord honored his request and said, if you want to share in what my glory looks like, okay. But you have no idea what you're asking. Right on the heels of this request, we find the other 10 disciples watching this, and they're furious, angry at James and John for requesting the power and the glory of the kingdom, that they can be Jesus' second and third in command. The 10 are furious at these boys, beating them to the punch to get to the top of the ladder. Who's going to be the greatest among them? James and John are first in line. So Jesus, hearing the anger now among the 12, gathers all of them in and wants to set them straight. Look. You know the way that the world around us does business. You know how they do politics, Jesus tells them. You've seen those rulers, those authorities in our world. All they do is battle to be on top. A dog-eat-dog world to be the best, to be in power, to have the authority, to have the wealth, to have everything so that they can rule over others. That's what they're jockeying for. You know how the world does business, right? Not so among you. You must be different. If you want to be great in this new kingdom of God, it's not about getting to the top. You're going to have to be the servant. If you want to be first, you will be the slave of all. The first will be last. The last will be first. Jesus had just told them after the rich man last week. It's not about the pursuit of more power like James and John were thinking. It's about going to the bottom, being servants of all. So they journey on from there, and they're going through Jericho, and we're told just as they get to the other side of Jericho, on this final home stretch before Jesus enters into Jerusalem, there's a blind beggar on the side of the road named Bartimaeus who starts crying out as soon as he hears that it's Jesus who's going by, "Son of David, have mercy on me! Son of David, have mercy on me! Son of David, have mercy on me!" Over and over and over. The crowd, annoyed at this beggar screaming out for Jesus, tell him, "Shut up. Be quiet." That only empowers him more. "Son of David, have mercy on me!" And he screams over and over. Jesus hears of these cries for him and stops his journey to Jerusalem for a moment and pauses and says, "Bring this man to me." The crowd tells him, "Good, you finally got his attention. Now go. Go see this Jesus." And Bartimaeus goes over to Jesus, and Jesus has the same exact words for Bartimaeus that he had for James and John. "What do you want me to do for you? What is it, Bartimaeus, that you desire?" And Bartimaeus says, "Teacher, I just want to see again." Jesus responds, "Go. Your faith, your trust in God has healed you." And what does Bartimaeus do? He gets up and he follows Jesus on the way into Jerusalem, on the way to rejection, suffering, and death.
What do you want me to do for you? Imagine Jesus asking you that question. What is it that you want from me? What do you desire in your life? How might you answer that question? James and John had wanted the power. They wanted to be number two and number three in command. Bartimaeus, on the other hand, he just wanted to see again. He just wanted the eyes to follow Jesus. I think James and John were actually the real blind men in this story. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what it meant to be with Jesus, to travel into Jerusalem. They had working eyes, but they were blind. Bartimaeus, on the other hand, had no working eyes, but he got it. He had the eyes to see what was important, what should be truly desired in God's eyes. What do you want me to do for you? What do you desire from Jesus in your life? And when you pray and ask for your Heavenly Father to help you or to give you certain things, do you understand exactly what you're asking for? James and John sure didn't. They wanted power and glory of the kingdom of God, and they got it all right. Years later, as they suffered, they were killed for the message of God's new world. Be careful what you ask for, I think James and John are teaching us. Be careful what you pray for. You might just get it. But it won't be your version. It'll be God's version of what He desires for you. What is it that we're truly seeking and desiring? We must get to the heart of that question. Do we want the things of this world? Or are we seeking what Bartimaeus wanted? The true kind of sight, to see God for who He is, what He's doing in the world, that we might be empowered to get up off of the side of the road and follow Him into Jerusalem. One final thing I didn't mention about Bartimaeus that I think brings it all together. We're told as he's sitting there on the side of the road and Jesus has summoned him, there's something he does, a detail that could be lost very easily. We're told that as he goes to Jesus, he throws away his cloak. Might think, so what? But for this blind beggar, as for all blind beggars in the ancient world, their cloak was their everything. A beggar would sit on the side of the road or in the temple and spread their cloak in front of them, kind of like a guitar case. And people would throw their gifts, their alms, their bread, the food, whatever they had to give to the beggar would be thrown into the beggar's cloak. The beggar would accumulate his daily bread from this, gather his cloak up, kind of like a knapsack, and that would be his everything. Everything that he had for that day would be in his cloak. Bartimaeus, we're told, as soon as Jesus summons him, throws his cloak away. Everything he had. All of the money, the food, whatever he had collected for the day from begging, or even from past days, he throws it away. At the summons of Jesus,
he realizes all of this that he has been begging for is nothing. And he goes to Jesus for ask for the one true thing that mattered, the sight, to see Jesus for who he was and to follow him on the way. Bartimaeus is a great example of positive discipleship in Mark's gospel. He gets it. The rich man from last week, such a different response to Jesus. Jesus summons him, "Follow me." And he says, "But I need to hold on to all of my property and wealth and power." He wasn't willing to throw it aside to follow Jesus on the one mission that mattered. Bartimaeus gets it. Jesus calls, and suddenly nothing else matters. He throws aside everything he has and goes with Jesus. May we desire what Bartimaeus desired, that being with Jesus, walking with him, is the only thing that really matters. Let's go with him. He's leading us to God. He won't let us down. Amen.